Welcome back to News and Notes' first ever live town hall show. I'm Farai Chidea. We are broadcasting from the campus of Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia. And today we're talking about election 2008 and the youth vote. Hundreds of thousands of new voters registered to take part in this year's presidential primaries. But how are organizers going to make sure they come out in the fall? With me, William Jelani Cobb, Associate Professor of History at Spelman College, Amber Scott, a senior at Spelman College and the president of the school's NAACP chapter, and Rob Biko Baker, Executive Director of the League of Young Voters in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start out with this national election. Political analysts say Obama's campaign has mobilized a lot of young student voters this election. Now, I'm going to go straight to you, Amber. What are students doing in terms of, you know, on your campus? Are people advocating for specific candidates? Are people doing get out the vote? What do you see on Spelman's campus?
On Spelman's campus, we're seeing a lot of people rallying for different candidates. So we have students for Hillary, we have students for Obama, and being president of NAACP chapter at Spelman has allowed us to, through each of our events, whether we're working in education, healthcare, or economic aspects of the African American community, what we've been able to do is translate that into the importance of voting. So whether we're talking about education, we're always able to tie in the importance of voting and getting your voice heard, but then again, that's just the beginning.
Biko, your organization, the League, really does continuous grassroots work. Why don't you just quickly describe what you guys do?
Yeah, we do voter education and mobilization 365 days of the year. We've been around since 2004 and have been really working in impoverished communities that work with low-income youth and non-college communities.
When it comes down to it, do you find a lot of people, the word bitter was recently used by Barack Obama, and he got a lot of heat for that, but I would say that some young black voters are bitter, tired of seeing people come in and out of office and tired of seeing that there isn't much change on the ground. How do you deal with someone who might say, you know, we had Talib Kweli come on our show, you know, hip-hop artist and community organizer, but he said he doesn't vote on principle?
I mean, he's just uneducated. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, rich white folks wouldn't give billions of dollars, you know, through these election cycles for us to go out to the polls or to try to stop us from going to the polls. And truth of the matter is, voting is just a demonstration of our power. We got to keep pushing and keep fighting. And if we're not doing that, then we're just throwing our vote away. But come January, come to, you know, October, if we're fighting and pushing in 2009, we're going to have some power at the table.
Before I come to you, Jelani, I'm going to go to the audience. We've got some folks who have questions. I would ask you to step up to the mic and give us your name and where you're from and your question.
Okay. Dr. Mike Weaver, Farai Chidea, pleasure meeting you.
Thank you
for coming to Atlanta. And I really wanted to address this question to President Borders, but what we will do is address it to William Jelani Cobb, Dr. Cobb there at Spelman. We know that with the mayoral election that's going on here in Atlanta, word is, I'm a city of Atlanta resident. I don't live in the suburbs. I live about five blocks away from campus, right near campus. However, we know that we're hearing that about 16 blacks are going to be running for mayor of Atlanta. We've heard that there's definitely one white female who's running for mayor. So there are those who are opining, in essence, that the next mayor of Atlanta will be white and more than likely female. What do you think with this possible a battleground of 16 candidates, black candidates for mayor versus, say, there's one white candidate, and a white candidate, say, becomes mayor of Atlanta. What do you think that's going to do to the political base of Atlanta? Thank you.
So it sounds like it's a question of divide and conquer. You know, that's the question that's coming. What do you think about that?
First, I would like to say about Dr. Weaver's work that I'm very much, and very many of us, appreciate the work that you've done. He has been a consistent voice, making sure that the people who have been dispersed throughout the country because of hurricanes Katrina and Rita, that they are not forgotten and have been on the ground. And so I want to say that I appreciate your work in that regard. I'm not the best person to talk about the politics of the mayoral race, but what I will say is that I believe that the population, the black population of Atlanta, has declined by about 13%, somewhere around there, in the last 10 to 12 years, largely because of gentrification and the changing demographics that come along with that. What I'm not prepared to say that I think the next mayor will be a white female, but I will say that I think whoever comes into office will probably be confronted by the same kinds of political coalition building that we've seen on a national level that Barack Obama has had to do, simply saying that these two populations people will have to have supporters at each of these populations in order to get anything done.
We were able to bring President Borders back to the mic since she was also referencing the question. What do you think?
Thank you, Farai. It is true that the demographics are shifting in Atlanta, but my own candidacy in 2004, where we had black and white candidates, demonstrated that people really are interested in competence over color and results over race. And so what I would say is that whoever comes to be elected, and I'm going to claim it right here, right now, that it will be me, that we will be faced with economic challenges in the city. And that is not just for the African-American community. That will be for every community across the city.
Let's go to this question of how people get into the system. And I don't mean the prison system. I don't mean the educational system. I mean the political system. Biko, are you preparing people not only to vote, but also to take leadership positions? And if so, how?
I mean, that's the only way we're going to make change in this country. The truth of the matter is that there's been a significant gap that the author Bakari Katwana talks about from the civil rights and hip-hop generation that's sort of been created by some structural problems in our community. And a lot of us don't know how to practice democracy. A lot of us don't have institutions in our community. We don't go to the churches at the same rate as our parents. And we're living in a generation where we don't have hand-to-hand mentorship. And it's been up to us and our organization to stay in the hood, stay over there in Milwaukee, over the Rhine in Cincinnati, got some people from Milwaukee in here right now, and really give them the opportunity to see how democracy works.
Amber, how did you grow up in terms of political and news education? Because one of the things that some studies have found is that people who are most likely to vote have parents who voted and who taught them that this was important. How did your family teach you?
That's definitely one of the ways how I became involved in the political process. I usually went to the polls with my dad. He always asked if I could go in the little booth, so I was able to see, and he made sure to let me know at a young age that, you know, this is my right. People fought for me to have this right to vote. And so once I was able to, after my 18th birthday, I had the chance to mail my absentee ballot. I was very excited. I have a picture of me holding it at the mailbox. So definitely something that was ingrained in me at a young age. And I think that incorporating that within the educational system, just showing students how to become a productive citizen, so voting, writing letters to your elected officials, or perhaps even running for an elected position, are just some of the ways that students can become involved in the political process.
I want to make sure that folks just tuning in from around the country know that we're talking about the youth vote. You are listening to NPR's News and Notes in Atlanta. I am Farai Chidea. We've got with us Amber Scott, a senior at Spelman College and the president of the school's chapter of the NAACP, Rob Biko Baker, executive director of the League of Young Voters, and William Jelani Cobb, associate professor of history at Spelman College. And Jelani, the work that you do stretches way back in history, not just now, but you know, a century or so back in terms of African-American political engagement. What have we gained? What has gone well in that time?
Well, one of the things that I think that we have to be mindful of, and I want to kind of reemphasize Biko's point, when people say that voting doesn't change anything, I say that if that was the case, people would not have spent the enormous energy and resources that they did devote to keeping us from doing it. So that's where we start. Initially, when we see black voting participation in the South after the Civil War, one of the things that we have to confront is that after the Civil War, the foundations of public education in the American South largely came as a result of Republican and specifically African American voters. That was one of the major impacts of black voters, because prior to the Civil War, the South's public educational infrastructure was much farther behind that of the North than it ultimately wound up being. When we look at more specifically, more recently, the behaviors, the political behaviors of the Democratic Party switched from being really the party of Southern segregationists and people who wanted to keep Jim Crow alive to being the party that signed the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1965 and 1964, respectively. That was done on the strength of the black vote when black people began migrating from the South to the North. The North, northern cities were Democratic strongholds for a long time, and as long as cities were dominated by white ethnic and immigrant votes, they didn't have to pay any attention to black people. But once black people began moving into cities, the Democratic Party was forced to confront the possibility of either losing their base in these major cities or changing their agenda. And so when we look, we can go example after example after example, but clearly the black vote is not the only means, it's not the only tool in the box, but it is a key and an essential one.
I want to go to the audience for another question. And again, I would ask you to get close to the mic, give us your name and where you're from.
How you doing? My name is Raheem Manning. I'm a freshman here at Clark Atlanta University, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think this is a good event that we're having here, and I think it raises a lot of issues. I heard the panel discuss several different things that I feel affect me as a young African-American male. One thing is, you know, the soaring numbers at the polls for my generation and those of my demographic. Just a comment on that. Before I pose my question, I believe that this election has been large in my community and my generation because there's a lot of issues out now that affect the young black community on a local level and as well as a national level. And I think it's a great thing that you have President Borders here to speak about the local level thing. On a national level, you have events like Hurricane Katrina. You have events like Genesis 6 that really mobilized, the black community and the black youth. And I believe that, you know, we're ready to see change and things like that not continue. For President Borders, on a local level, we have laws that affect the black community, such as the ban on saggy pants, which has been a large thing that we've been talking about here at Clark Atlanta.
We're going to talk about that later this week, but why don't you toss out a question?
Oh, well, the question is, do you agree with the fact that this election really affects the black youth? And do you agree that the black youth are tired of seeing people in offices that don't have our interests at hand?
I think one of the issues is when we talk about the young vote, a lot of times folks aren't really highlighting that that's really college voters. One in four college voters turned out in Super Tuesday. But one in 14 non-college voters, which really means poor people, people of color, didn't show up. And that's because folks aren't talking about issues. You're from Philly. Philly is off the chain. Drama's from Philly. It's off the chain in terms of murder. You know what I'm saying? People are not connecting the fact that there are these huge structural problems in our communities to the facts that young people are dying every day in the street. And until we start to talk about that, last year at this time, Barack Obama was in Milwaukee the day of Virginia Tech, April 16th. And he gave a passionate speech about violence. He hasn't come back to that speech very much. And us as young people of color need to hold him accountable and other people accountable to that message, because otherwise there is no reason for us to vote if they're not talking about schools, if they're not talking about violence, if they're not talking about jobs, because we're getting our butt kicked right now.
Amber, you are with the NAACP, and the NAACP has been criticized for not having enough people like you. You know, the average age is at least in the 50s of members, if not higher. So do you believe that a civil rights agenda or a African-American agenda is still something that you can promote through specific organizations like the NAACP? And how do you think the NAACP is doing on youth issues?
Well, I'll start with tackling the African-American agenda. I think that organizations such as the NAACP, I think the agenda should be for people in general. And what we advocate for is more so people impoverished positions. And to the question about the programs of the NAACP, I think we do a pretty good job of, you know, registering people to vote, mobilizing them, and educating them about the different process. What we could do, something that we could work on, is definitely reaching more people through community dorm or community walkthroughs and things of that nature.
Jelani, from your perspective, is politics evolving so that African-American specific outreach will fade out and it'll be this kind of universal brown people of color? Or is there still a room and a role, not just in this election, but in future elections, for specifically African-American outreach?
At the risk of sounding very political, I'll say both. The reason I say that is that we will have issues that are specific to the African-American community that continue to plague and beleaguer us. But we also have to be able to look at those issues within a broader context. And so we're entering now a new era of coalition politics. And I think that that's what's really exciting, where people will have a coalition not based upon philanthropic goodwill, but based upon shared common interest and shared common concerns.
Bika?
I mean, I think the truth of the matter is black folks don't like to talk about class. And the truth of the matter is, as long as people are exploited because of their color, they will have to deal with the fact that they're black. At the same time, I think one of the issues is that there's been so much social mobility since the civil rights generation that when I walk on campus here, I feel it out of place. You know, I mean, I'm a blue-collar dude. You know, I wanted to go to Morehouse, couldn't afford it. And I think until our community starts to bridge those divides of race and class, we're going to keep having some problems. And, you know, you can look at a city like Detroit. You can look at a city like Philly. You can look at a city like Atlanta and see that this city hasn't all the way dealt with its racial and class issues.
All right, well, I have to go to a break, but we're going to take more questions after that break, and I want to thank you three for joining us. Thank you. We were speaking with William Jelani Cobb, Associate Professor of History at Spelman College, Amber Scott, a senior at Spelman College and the president of the school's NAACP chapter, and Rob Biko Baker, the Executive Director for the League of Young Voters in Brooklyn, New York. They were all with me at Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia, and we invite you to weigh in on these topics on our blog, nprnewsandviews.org.